Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're going to be talking about the individual battles in the demonic realm or with the demonic realm here in just a minute. But first, I want to bring you up to date with what's going on in the Kenya Africa ministry. We have 34 children in the children's home, and it would be great if every single person listening to me today would make a contribution. We could get these children some extra gifts, some extra clothes for Christmas this year. And then after the first of the year, they're going back into school for the spring term, which will last till about March or April. And so we would appreciate gifts for the children at this time. And also we have crusades planned coming up this spring, one in Butere out in West Kenya near the Uganda border, and another in the country of Tanzania, where we have been going in four times in the last year and a half since the COVID virus situation arose. We have gone into Tanzania four times and preached big crusades there, had very good response, very good crowds, and so keep that lifted up in your prayers as well. Also coming up December 21st is a mandate, a vaccine mandate, that is going to be very strict, very rigid, and very crushing on the freedoms of the people of Kenya. Currently, only a few are vaccinated at this time, less than 5%, and so this is going to be a very stringent, rigid mandate that is going to take the freedoms away from the people of Kenya and force them into doing something they really don't want to do. So keep that lifted up in your prayers and keep the country of Kenya lifted up, that they would not force all of these mandates on the people of Kenya. It becomes a great battle over there with the police, and so it becomes a battle that many people lose, and they end up in jail, they end up being beaten, they end up having their money taken from them, and so keep that also lifted up in your prayers. Well, today we're going to be talking about our individual battles with the demonic realm, with individual demons, and some of you may not understand this subject. It may not have been taught to you prior to this teaching, and that's okay. Some churches teach that we don't have any more battles with individual demons once you become saved, that you no longer have a battle with the demons, and I disagree with that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that, and I don't believe experience shows that either. I believe we're in a battle for our life, for our soul. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's not finished. He's not going to be finished when you leave this earth. He'll go on to somebody else, and he's not finished just because you became a Christian and you walk into church. The devil doesn't just give up on you and say, well, I've lost that battle. No, he stays in the battle. He will continue to fight against you. He will continue to try to destroy you, to take you out of your calling and your destiny. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, not about powers and principalities over regions and over territories, but the individual battle that each of us has against the demons of the devil's realm. So in Luke 10, verse 17, Jesus has sent out the disciples, and he sent them out with instructions to go to the lost house of Israel. And so when the 70, this is not just the 12, this is the 70 who were originally walking with him and being discipled by him. And it says here in verse 17, when the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And so the demons were obviously in attendance then. They were in application then, or in activity then. And so just as they were then, so they are now. The Bible doesn't give any indication that the demons have quit or that they're for some reason have left just because you or I become a Christian. And in verse 18, then Jesus said to the disciples, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And then he says, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And so we have authority. Jesus sent the disciples out with authority, and we have authority because we are born again. If you are a believer and you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have authority over the demons. And if you're losing your battle to alcohol, you're losing your battle to drugs or pornography, or you're staying away from church because you have some sin that you don't want to confess and it will keep you away from the body of Christ, beloved, you have the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. You have the authority to defeat the devil in your life. And so start exercising that authority. Start calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. Start worshiping Him, praising Him. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in worship. Spend time in the body of Christ with the gathering of the saints, and you will see victory over the serpents and over the scorpions who are causing problems in your life and wreaking havoc on your life, and you will see victory. And these problems that are besetting you and keeping you away from your peace, your joy, and your fulfillment, these problems will then start to go away. And Jesus said, nothing by any means shall hurt you. And so we can go forward knowing that we have power over the enemy. But then Jesus says in verse 20, he adds a caveat to this. He says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Beloved, no matter what miracle comes into your life, no matter what victories you see over the problems that have beset you, the problems that plague you, no matter what victories you see in your own individual walk with the Lord, the greatest accomplishment in your life is salvation in Jesus Christ. The greatest miracle in your life is salvation in Jesus Christ. If you are saved, beloved, that is the greatest thing that can happen in your life. And if you're not saved, you need to listen very carefully about how you can be saved. If you're not saved, you need to get down on your knees and cry out to the Lord and find somebody to confess. First, confess to the Lord, and then find somebody to confess to that you can say, yes, Lord, I want to serve you. I repent of my sins. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to lead me down the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And if you do that, find a good Bible-believing church. If you're not in a church, find a good fellowship that preaches and teaches the Word of God, and have somebody have that church baptize you, immersion baptize you, and you will be saved. And all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so Jesus said, don't rejoice, don't get too excited when you see the demons fleeing in my name, when you see the demons being cast out. But he said, get excited because you're going to spend all eternity with me, worshiping me and rejoicing in your place in the kingdom. Well, when Jesus sent the disciples out in Matthew 10:8, he said to them, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he gave them four things to do as they went out. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And so you see, casting out demons is in a different category than healing the sick or raising the dead or cleansing the lepers. Casting out demons is a deliverance, and it is a battle against the demonic realm, against the demons, the individual demons that are in other people that the Lord may present before you. And you can cast these demons out because you have been given authority. It is not your power. Power comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. The power comes, and you can exercise that authority. You can exercise that power because you are walking under the anointing and in the glory of the kingdom of heaven and the glory of God. And so Jesus said, cast out demons. And so we have the very same instruction. We're reading the same Bible. The Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jehovah God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the very same power and authority that the disciples have, you have and I can have if you want it. And you can have it to bring about change, not only in your own life, but also you can bring about change in the lives of the people that you minister to. Well, in Matthew 8, chapter 8, verse 16, here is a passage of scripture that talks about individual demons. When evening had come, they brought to Jesus many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, he himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. Well, it says there's two different categories of people that he ministered to, those who had demonic spirits and were demon-possessed, and those who had sickness, and sometimes demons cause sickness. Sometimes our sicknesses can be directly traced to demonic activity, and other times it can just be a natural law taking effect and a natural degradation of the body from wear and tear, from occupational hazards, occupation accidents, and all of that type of stuff. And so demons were dealt with by Jesus. Demons were attacking people, and they do so today in the very same way that they did 2,000 years ago. Well, we have a great story in the Bible in Mark chapter 5 about the demoniac who was dwelling in the tombs. And so this story talks about the individual who is possessed with many demonic spirits, and we have that today also. Some people are totally demon possessed, they're totally crazy, and we see that happening more and more in the world today. People picking up guns and shooting innocent people that they don't even know, people driving their cars through parades and killing people they don't even know, people blowing up. In Kenya, we had the U.S. Embassy blown up 20 years ago, and it killed 275 people or some such number. And so, you know, the 9/11 story where the 3,000 people on that one day were killed, and it's just innocent, random, demonically inspired attacks that take people out, and that is a hallmark of the day today. Well, when Jesus came to this demoniac, he was living over in the Gadarenes, and in verse 2 of chapter 5, the book of Mark, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately there came out to meet him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. And so here's a picture of a man who is very tormented, a picture of a man who is totally isolated from society. He is a psychopath, we would call it today, mentally disturbed, cutting himself with stones, crying out in the tombs. Tremendous strength. He pulls chains apart, he breaks the shackles, and he is crying out, and Jesus encounters him, and when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. Well, that sounds really crazy. Why would this man want to worship Jesus in the condition that he was in? What would he know about Jesus that would cause him to run to Jesus and to worship him? Well, we find out here in verse 7, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Well, that gives you a very good hint right there that this man had a prior knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so we heard Jesus over in Luke chapter 10 saying, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Well, that story is in Ezekiel chapter 28, the picture of Satan in heaven, or Lucifer, the anointed angel in heaven, and Isaiah chapter 14, when Satan desired to take over the throne of God, he desired to ascend to the highest mountain in heaven, and the Lord threw him out, and when Satan went and was thrown out of heaven, a third of the angels went with him. And so the demonic realm that we deal with, the demonic realm that we wrestle with on a daily basis, is these fallen angels who have fallen from heaven, who have been cast out of heaven, and they make up the devil's hierarchy. They make up the individual demons and the powers and principalities who are ruling over regions, territories, and countries in this world. And so Jesus saw Satan fall from heaven. He took the rebellious angels with him, and the rebellious angels made a choice that day that they would not abide in the kingdom of God, that they would not submit to the Lord's direction. And so the angels who stayed are the angels who submit to the Lord, who do his bidding. They are ministering spirits, tells us in Hebrews 1:14. What are the angels but are ministering spirits to those who inherit salvation? And so we have good angels who minister to us, who support us, who strengthen us, who guard us and protect us, who war over the demonic angels who are trying to tear us apart and lead us astray and lead us into a place where we reject the kingdom and we don't fulfill our calling in the kingdom. And so this demonic man, this isn't him speaking, this is the demon speaking through him, and he says, I implore you by God that you do not torment me. So he recognized the authority of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus said to him, verse 8, come out of the man, unclean spirit. And then Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And so again, that was the head demon speaking. That obviously wasn't the man's name. His name was a local name, I'm sure, given to him by his mother and father when he was born. But the demon, the head demon in this man now is saying, my name is Legion, we are many. And so we find out later here in this story just how many demons there are in this man. And beloved, demons don't take up space. There can be many in one person, just are there as a demonic force, as an invisible force, and one person can have many demons, and those demons then take control and take control of the behavior. They take control of the speech. They direct that person where he's going to live. Even today here in America, we have many people living on the streets, especially on the West Coast. We have many people who can't cope with life. They've been doing drugs. Many of them are mentally unstable. And so they end up living on the street, many demons directing their behavior. They defecate on the street. They shoot up drugs, and that isn't all of them. Some of them have a sane mind. They just don't want to work. But the fact is, many of them are demon-possessed. Many of them are demon-oppressed, and they cannot function as normal people in the society that we have. Well, in verse 10, the Legion begs Jesus earnestly that he would not send them out of the country, not send the spirits out of the country. And the reason why is because these spirits are territorial. They liked this man. They wanted to inhabit this man, and they liked the territory. They were familiar to the territory, the culture, and the place where this man was. And so it goes on to say, now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains, and all the demons begged Jesus, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. He didn't think about it. He didn't talk about it. He just said, at once he sent the unclean spirits into the swine. So it says, then the unclean spirits went out, and they entered the swine, and there was about 2,000 spirits. Each one went into a separate swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. And so those who fed the swine, the farmers, told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. And when they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion, this man was sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Well, beloved, that is deliverance right there. I've seen it happen, maybe not with 2,000, but in Africa I've seen many people delivered. When the Word of God hits them, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And when you're preaching the Word of God, when you're preaching and that anointing, that glory cloud comes down and covers that crusade ground, miracles start to happen, healings start to happen, deliverances start to happen. And I've seen people cry out, and people who were demon-possessed, and they cry out, and they roll around, and they scream, and they thrash, and beloved, deliverance is happening. It looks kind of chaotic. It looks kind of crazy from a natural point of view, but deliverance is happening, and these people then can sit clothed in their right mind and come to the feet of Jesus. They can come to the altar and say, "Yes, Lord, thank you for delivering me. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for breaking these chains of bondage off of me and setting me free this day." And so we have a man here who then Jesus gives him instruction in verse 19. He says, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." Beloved, when you get set free of demonic activity, when you get set free of the chains that are binding you, the chains that are holding you back and holding you in addictions or holding you in pornography or holding you in lying and stealing, when you get set free of that, you need to make an offering to the Lord. You need to say, "Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to worship you. I want to make an offering to you and let the kingdom of God have my joy. Let the kingdom of God rejoice with me." And beloved, when you get in that place, which I hope some of you are today, that the Lord is setting you free today, that the Lord is giving you freedom today, when you get that freedom, don't go back into that yoke of slavery again. Do not take that yoke of slavery on you again and get back into bondage. Get into the house of God. Get into worship with the people of God. Get into prayer meetings with the people of God, and the Lord will continue to set your feet on a firm foundation. The Lord will continue to raise you up and strengthen you, and you can fulfill the calling, you can fulfill the destiny that the Lord has for you, and you can walk in freedom and not be crippled in that bondage as you go forward. Well, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, this is Jesus' final instructions to his disciples before Jesus ascended to heaven. He's with the disciples one last time. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues." And then he also said, "In my name they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover." So, beloved, that is something you can look forward to when you are walking with the Lord. You may not be able to go to Africa, but really there's nothing keeping you from going to Africa. You may want to go to Mexico or someplace else, wherever the Lord calls you. But you can do something for the kingdom, and you can cast out demons, and you will speak with new tongues, and you will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And by God's grace, by God's will, you will be able to accomplish those things for the kingdom of God. Well, beloved, if you've made any kind of decision today, you have any questions, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. I would be happy to dialogue with you and help you get on your walk, help you get on your kingdom walk. And if you've made a decision, get into a Bible-believing church, get baptized, get discipled, and move forward as the day of salvation is today, and let this day be a day of rejoicing. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that, and we invite you to partner with this ministry with the Africa Mission Projects, the radio ministry, all the good things that are happening. And so we invite you to be a part of that. Stay tuned for contact information, and you will find out how you can contact this ministry, how you can be a part of this ministry, and the Lord will bless you, and we will bless you, and you will be blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.